Today on The Journey.
What comes to your mind when you think about God? Eternal, creator, unique. He provides all we need. Gracious and merciful. He's generous. He's patient. He is faithful.
Encouragement during the battle comes in many forms. A touch, a well-timed word, and here today, a prayer. Ron Moore is coming to share the hope found in the character of God as expressed in a heartfelt petition by the great biblical leader Nehemiah. Just before that, I want you to know about our special offer during this series. Sinister voices, external and internal, positive and negative, can halt your growth in Christ. But Ron will teach you how to defeat them in his powerful publication, Voices of Opposition. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with part two of the message, The Grace Assembly, On the Journey.
What we're trying to do is to look at Scripture and see what God says about Himself so that we can worship Him, so that we can see indeed who He is, not who we want Him to be. Take your Bibles and open to Nehemiah chapter 9. We have learned in chapters 1 through 7 that the wall has been completed, and now in chapter 8, with the work of the wall done, the people begin to work on their hearts. And the thing they do in chapter 8 is they say, bring out the book. We want to hear what God has to tell us. And in chapter 9, they respond to this God they have seen in Scripture. And we have found characteristics of God throughout a prayer that they have prayed in chapter 9. Last we saw these five characteristics: that God is eternal, that God is unique, that He's a creator of all things, that He keeps His promises always, that He delivers His people. And now let's continue going through this prayer, picking up in verse 13. We find that God provides all we need. Look at verse 13 and 14. The people are praying to God, reviewing the history of how God has worked in their nation. You came down from Mount Sinai. You spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and laws that are just and right, and decrees and commands that are good. You made known to them your holy Sabbath, and you gave them commands and decrees and laws through your servant Moses. In their hunger, you gave them bread from heaven, and in their thirst, you brought them water from the rock. You told them to go and take possession of the land that you had sworn with uplifted hand to give them. We're reminded in this passage that God provided the nation of Israel with everything they needed. They needed to know how to live. They needed to know how to serve Him. And so God gave them the law. Not a legalistic set of instructions to burden them, but He gave them boundaries so they could live in true freedom. In chapter 9, verse 6, we reminded ourselves that God is the Creator. And as a creator, He should know what it is we need to live by. Last week I had this little cough I couldn't shake, and I finally, after several weeks, went to the doctor, and the nurse came in and she took my pulse and blood pressure. And as she was walking out, she said, "You have a strong heart and good blood pressure, but that cough is going to kill you." I love nurses with a good sense of humor. I hoped that she was joking. And finally the doctor came in and he gave me an antibiotic. And he gave me specific instructions on how to take it, even a command. You need to take this antibiotic. I didn't argue with him. I trusted him as a medical doctor that what he gave me would help me. His instruction was not to burden me, but it was to heal. And so it is with God. He knows exactly what we need. So He gives us laws that are just and right, and decrees that are good to help us as we go through our life. He gives us His prescription of living a life that will please Him and a life that will be best for us. His instructions to us deal with ethics, how we do business. How, Christian businessmen, are you going to know how to do business unless God instructs you through His Word? His instruction to us deals with purity, young men and women. How are you going to know how important it is to stay pure unless you hear God tell you that from His Word? It deals with marriage. It deals with parenting. It deals with relationships to each other. Obedience to His instruction gives satisfaction and fulfillment in life. Disobedience, while seemingly enjoyable for the moment, in the long run is devastating. God's Word, He says, is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. Without His instruction, we are walking in darkness. So God gives us everything we need when He gives us His Word, His law, so that we can live a life pleasing to Him. And when we live a life pleasing to Him, a life most satisfying to ourselves. Look at verse 15. In their hunger You gave them bread from heaven, and in their thirst You brought them water from the rock. You told them to take possession of the land You had sworn with uplifted hand to give them. This is a reference to Exodus when the children of Israel left Egypt. Exodus chapter 16, they were delivered from Egypt. And God, as He took them through the desert, gave them everything they needed. He gave them manna from heaven. He gave them food. He provided it for them. He provided them with water. He provided them with a new land. He gives us everything we need. Now, certainly this is not an excuse for laziness in our life. We need to work hard. It's not an excuse for poor planning. We need to plan well. It's not to presume on God's goodness as a provider, but it's the reminder that unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord builds our life, we labor in vain who build it. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 6. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See the lilies of the field? How they grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God provides exactly what we need. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. Secondly, we see here that God is gracious and God is merciful. Beginning in verse 16, this prayer of the Israelites puts forth a list of sin. And because human nature doesn't change, the same sins of their forefathers were the same sins that the Israelites were dealing with in Nehemiah's day. And because human nature doesn't change, these are pretty much the same sins we're dealing with today. As they reviewed their nation's history, they said, we were arrogant. We were proud. We were presumptuous. We were rebellious. As they reviewed their history, they said, our forefathers and us today, we're stiff-necked, meaning stubborn. We kind of do what we want to do, regardless of what God says to do. As they reviewed their nation's history, they said, we refused to listen. We heard it verbally. We just didn't do it. We were disobedient, failed to listen. We failed to remember all You had done. We were ungrateful. All these blessings You had given us, everything You provided for us, we failed to remember. We were rebellious. In fact, after God had delivered us from Egypt, we wanted to appoint our own leader to take us back to Egypt because it was more comfortable there. How did God respond to all that? Their arrogance, their stubbornness, their disobedience, their ungratefulness, their rebelliousness. Same way he responds to our sin today. Look at the middle of verse 17. But you are a forgiving God, gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. How does God respond to our sin? Well, the first thing is he forgives our sin. He has sent his Son to pay the penalty for our sin. And for some people, one of the hardest concepts of God for them to grasp is that God forgives. That whatever they've done, he has the capacity, he has the willingness to forgive them. Listen to some of these verses that talk about forgiveness. Isaiah 43, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for your own sake and remembers your sins no more. We have a hard time forgetting our sins, don't we? And other people certainly do. But God says, I will choose to blot out your sin. I will remember them no more. Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. That infinite continuum, as far as the east is from the west. We have a hard time forgetting our sins, don't we? We have a hard time separating our sins from ourselves, and we certainly have a hard time separating other people's sins from them. But when we come to God, he forgives and separates our sins as far as the east is from the west. What a promise. Micah chapter 7. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. As far as the sea is deep, God takes our sins, puts an anchor on them, and throws them in. What a great truth of God. He forgives. And I don't know where you are today. You may have trouble forgiving other people. You may have trouble forgiving yourself for something you've done. But here's a God who forgives and forgets your sin. Not only does he forgive sins, but he shows grace. He gives us what we don't deserve. He shows mercy. He doesn't give us what we do deserve. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. Look at the last part of verse 17. With all they had done, therefore you did not desert them. And even when they cast for themselves an image of a calf and said, this is your God who brought you out of Egypt, and when they committed awful blasphemies, you still didn't forget them. You never desert your people. You show forgiveness, you show grace, you show mercy. You never desert us. And just as it is true in the time of the Israelites as they left Egypt, just as it was true to these people in the time of Nehemiah, so it is true for us. Hebrews 13, God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God of grace and mercy. Thirdly, God is generous. Not only gives us all we need, but he does it in a very generous way. Let me read through these verses, beginning in verse 19 through 25, and just pick out all the things that God gave this nation as he delivered them from Egypt. Because of your great compassion, verse 19, you did not abandon them in the desert. By day, the pillar of cloud did not cease to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. You gave them your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the desert. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out. Now, I haven't had a pair of shoes for 40 years. But God made certain in the desert that their shoes didn't wear out. Generous with them. And their feet did not become swollen. You gave them kingdoms and nations, allotting to them even the remotest frontiers. They took from the country of Sihon, the king of Heshbon, the country of Og, the king of Bashan. You made their sons as numerous as the stars in the sky, and you brought them to the land that you told their fathers to enter and possess. Their sons, they went in and took possession of the land. You subdued before them the Canaanites who lived in the land. You handed the Canaanites over to them along with their kings and the peoples of the land to deal with them as they pleased. They captured fortified cities, fertile land. They took possession of houses filled with all kinds of good things, wells already dug, vineyards, olive groves, fruit trees in abundance. They ate to the full and were well nourished. They reveled in your great goodness. When a nation went into another area and they were going to settle it, one of the very first things they looked for was water. You can't exist without water. And so here we're reminded that you went in, the wells were already dug, the fruit trees were already planted. The day you got there, you ate until you were full. You didn't have to wait for trees to grow. You didn't have to scratch off the land until the fruit came. It was already there. And they reveled in your great goodness. God is generous to us. Titus says it this way. When the kindness and love of God appeared, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. All the spiritual blessings are ours. He has poured them out generously on us. We find in this passage that God is generous. Fourth, God is patient with us. Look at verses 26 through 31. And this passage describes Israel during the time of the judges. If you're familiar with the time of the judges, you know that it was a time in Israel's history of a reoccurring cycle. And the cycle went like this. There was disobedience. Then there was discipline. In their distress, they cried out. And then God delivered them. And then you know what happened? There was disobedience. And then there was discipline. And in their distress, they cried out. And God delivered them. That happened 7 times over in the book of Judges, demonstrating God's grace and His goodness. And here, His patience. Look at verse 26. But they were disobedient, and they rebelled against you. They put your law behind their backs. They didn't want to see what you had for them. They killed your prophets, who had admonished them in order to turn them back to you. They committed awful blasphemies. So you handed them over to their enemies, who opposed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you. From heaven you heard them, and in your great compassion you gave them deliverers who rescued them from the hands of their enemy. But as soon as they were at rest, they again did what was evil in your sight. And then you abandoned them to the land of their enemies, so that they ruled over them. And when they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven, and in your compassion you delivered them after a time. You warned them to return to your law, but they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. They sinned against your ordinances by which a man will live if he obeys them. Stubbornly, they turned their backs on you, became stiff-necked, and refused to listen. For many years, you were patient with them. By your Spirit, you admonished them through your prophets, yet they paid no attention, so you handed them over to neighboring people. But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. Aren't you glad God is patient with us? Here we see in the book of Judges, recounted here in these verses, disobedience, discipline, crying out, and deliverance. God is patient with us. He demonstrates amazing patience. He cares for us. He loves us. He always accepts us back when we sin, when we fall. And even in our cycles of disobedience and discipline and crying out to Him, He delivers us. And like the prodigal son, He welcomes us back, demonstrating His love and His grace and His mercy and His patience. 1 Timothy 1, Paul says this as he thinks through his life and the patience God has demonstrated to him. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength that He considered me faithful, appointing me to service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul says, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, Paul says, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. And that may be your life. You know your sin. You know how often you walked away from God. Maybe you're doing that today. If you're a child of God, He's going to demonstrate patience with you. He's waiting for you to come back to show His grace, to give to you what you don't deserve, and His mercy not to give to you what you do deserve. If you're there today, then claim God's patience and come back home. One more thing. God is faithful. Look at verses 32 and 33. Now therefore, O our God, the great, mighty, and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love, do not let all this hardship seem trifling in Your eyes, the hardship that has come on us, on our kings and our leaders, upon our priests and prophets, upon our fathers and all Your people from the days of the kings of Assyria until today. In all that has happened to us, You have been just. You have acted faithfully while we did wrong. You are a faithful God. Psalm 145 says, Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all His promises, loving to all He made. His promises are faithful. He will stand by them. What comes to your mind when you think about God? Eternal, Creator, unique. He provides all we need. Gracious and merciful. He's generous. He gives us everything overflowing. He's patient. He is faithful. What comes to your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. What comes to your mind when you think about God?
And please stay with us. Ron returns with a special announcement just ahead. Do voices of discouragement, doubt, and ridicule from past and present hound your days and gnaw at your sleep? You know, those persistent taunts that question your abilities, wisdom, and resources can keep you from reaching your full potential in Christ. So in his booklet, Voices of Opposition, Ron Moore helps you isolate the causes of such doubt and fear and defeat them in God's strength. There, you'll discover an exciting new vision for the work Christ has prepared for you to do. Voices of Opposition is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to tell us about an event that will strengthen your faith.
If you live in the Pittsburgh area, I want to invite you to join us for our Relevant Faith Apologetic Series at one of our campuses in Robinson, Ross Traver, South Hills, Washington, or at our Wilkinsburg campus. If you live outside the Pittsburgh area, you can join our online campus on Sundays via our website, our app, or our Facebook page. This series runs through the weekend of September 14th and 15th, and it tackles some of the most important questions facing our culture today. Questions like, is there absolute truth? Is the Bible reliable? The person of Jesus Christ and the significance of the church. So visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org. You can get more information there about this series and about our church. We'll see you at one of our campuses.
Again, that web address is BibleChapel.org. And don't forget our offer of Ron Moore's booklet, Voices of Opposition. It's available for a gift of any amount at RonMoore.org. That's RonMoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018, 724-731-2018. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.